Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is William Betzelberger. I am the host and founder of the Resilient Masculinity Podcast and Movement. Thank you for tuning in today and thank you for listening. If this is your first time listening, or maybe you're returning and you still don't quite remember what this podcast is about, Resilient Masculinity was created by me as a community that inspires, encourages, and equips men with the tools, the conversations, the knowledge, the resources, and the community to become men who are capable and resilient, who can provide safety and stability and service to themselves, their families, their businesses, their churches, their local community, even their state, and therefore we can actually impact and change society. So if that message resonates with you, if that is a message you want to share with other men, please share, subscribe, leave a rating, do all those fun things. I know a lot of people, I know everyone on YouTube, everyone on their podcast says those things, but it really, truly does help share this message, bring it to other men, and that way we can have more men capable of providing safety, stability, and service to their communities. And that will bring such a big change to our country and to the countries around the world. So again, thank you for your support. We're going to jump right in and we're going to get messy today. Today I'm going to talk about everyone's beloved Disney, or maybe not so beloved. Disney, as you may have heard, maybe not, I don't know. I don't know what you listen to other than this podcast. And even then, thank you to my grandma and my wife and my mom, who are probably the only ones listening. But I'm still going to say this stuff anyway. So, it's a joke, but also kind of true. Anyway, if you don't know, Disney has come out and has absolutely admitted to hating your children. That is the truth. Disney hates your children. And why do I say that? What kind of things would they do that would make me say such things? Because if we know Disney, you know, it's a small world after all. And, you know, we dance and we have little mice and we have dogs and we have these weird looking bunnies and who knows what all the other animals are. I thought Disney was fun and cute. No, Disney hates your children. They are peddling horrible, sexual, degrading, degenerate material to your children. And they do it with a smile. Disney hates your children because they are willing to shell out so much money to promote sexual degeneracy, be it through homosexual depictions on the TV screen, be it through pimping out children, children stars, right? We all know the train wrecks that come from that. And even just showing how much materialism they want your children to have, like the amount of material possessions that they hype up on these children is insanity. But those three things combined, plus when you add their messaging of anti-traditional family values, anti-Christian values, anti-Bible, anti-God, then you really start diving into the fact that Disney absolutely hates your children. I think it's pretty clear from the shows that we see these days and the movies, the sexual degeneracy, I think that's pretty self-evident. You don't have to look very far for that one. Even again, with children's stars, they pimp them out at young ages. They show them around as sex symbols, even to young audiences, and they want you to buy into not only that, but buy into the idea of fame and money from a young age. You know, heck, even Justin Bieber has a song about how lonely it is to have all these things and have no one there to be with you. Like, dang, they really hate children. And then they attack the family. And they've been attacking the family for years, and I'm going to get flack for this one, because I'm about to attack not only my wife's favorite Disney movie, Moana, but also my younger sister's favorite Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast. And so I'm gonna get some personal flack from this one, I can tell. But I think at the end of the day, even if it's a maybe slightly reaching conclusion, I think it does have some basis on where we can see the trajectory of Disney going. And not only Disney, but other media as well. So why would I bring up Moana? Why would I bring up Beauty and the Beast? Other than maybe, you know, to rile my family, which I genuinely am not doing that to do so. I am genuinely doing so to bring fruitful conversation and to show that this has been a long game. My dad and I were talking earlier today at work that Disney, and not only just Disney, but the Senate, the House, the legislature of this country, the government of this country, and other institutions such as public school, which aka government school, and just the institutions at large, have been playing the long game. This has been a 20, 30 year battle that they have been fighting, and they've been winning because we failed to see this for so long, or so many did. Some of us knew, some of us already had been part of that fight and that struggle for years, and we were called crazy, we were called, what did they call? I don't even remember the word I'm looking for right now, but we were mocked. We were mocked for being homeschooled, and yet now you have children being taught it's okay to be trans at like the age of 5, and that we want to push hormone blocking drugs on children and not let the parents know. Okay, that kind of stuff is happening in your schools. Okay, they're being taught that being white is a sin and it's bad, and it's systemically bad to be white, to be male, to be straight. Those kind of things are being taught in your schools. They've been playing this game for so long. So again, let's get back to Disney, but that's just to show you, this has been going on for years and years, and being homeschooled, I didn't have to deal with that. I got to learn from a Christian worldview, and that's different than there's Christians in education, there are Christian teachers, and then there are Christian education, or there is Christian education. And that was my parents' responsibility, and they took full responsibility of that. And I'm so glad they did, because it truly influenced me, and it truly made my life better. And now I hope to do the same for my children, to bring them up in the way of the Lord, and to bring them up in a way that is fruitful, that introduces and instills doctrine. Yes, indoctrinate, that is, when you break it down, indoctrination is instilling doctrine, instilling virtues of what? Of the Bible, of Christian life, of honesty, of integrity, of being men who are capable, who are strong, who are resilient, of daughters and women who are caring and nurturing and lovely and beautiful. That is my responsibility as a husband and as a father, and it's your responsibility as men to lead your families in that way as well. But again, let's get back to Disney. Why do I bring up those movies? Why do I bring this up? We're gonna take a deep dive into about 30 years back, give or take a few years, but I'm gonna say roughly 30 years ago. Disney came out with a hit movie called Beauty and the Beast. And of course, I'm gonna provide spoilers here. It is a movie that is older than me, so if you haven't seen it, that is seriously your fault, okay? There's no excuse. If you haven't seen it before, that's on you. Go watch it because you'll actually see it and not just take my word for it. If I'm ever bringing up something like this, I will more likely than not, unless it's seriously disturbing material or sinful for you to watch, I will recommend you watch my sources so that you can actually know that, yes, I'm not exaggerating. I might stretch a point or two to make a point, but I'm not exaggerating to great lengths, and I'm not trying to be malicious or fictitious. Okay, so I just want to throw that out there, but seriously, go watch it. It is a good movie as a movie, but the content that it contains, the hidden messaging in there, or the subtle messaging in there, is actually quite apparent when you look at it from the way I present it, and I think it's going to help determine the path that Disney took 30 years ago and has continued to take to get to this kind of degeneracy today. So your two main characters, well, there's three main characters, which is Belle, the female. You have the Beast, who I'm not talking about on this spectrum of the categories here. And then you have Gaston, who is the counterpart to the Beast. He is the one who is pursuing Belle. Okay? Belle's opening song, or her famous song, is that she wants more than this provincial life. Okay, that's, she wants so much more than this awful life. And what is she doing when she's talking about that? She's going through town watching women be women. Watching women be mothers, watching women take care of their men, giving them food, giving them, you know, children, raising children, and having a fruitful life. And Belle wants more than that. She wants more than that, so she goes and gets books. And of course, I am not demeaning feminine education here. I am not demeaning women getting education. It is great for women to learn. It's great for anyone to learn, okay? I will never demean education. I love education. I think it's great. I think it needs to be rooted in truth. Yes, absolutely. If you get false education, then it's not doing you any good. But education is vital, yes, of course. But what is she saying is she wants more than this life of a mother, life as a wife. She doesn't want that. And sure, you can say, okay, that's her thing. She just doesn't want it. But then later she gets married to the Beast. So we do see she wants it, just, you know? So she wants more than this provincial life. Okay, and then we have Gaston. Gaston is a rugged man. He's definitely better built than I am, okay? I'm not built like he is. He attributes that to eating 12 dozen eggs a day, which is a stinking lot of eggs. Don't eat that many eggs in one day. I think you might actually throw up. However, he is the main male figure in Beauty and the Beast. And he instills traditional masculine traits. He instills masculine traits. He is able to physically protect his family or those around him. He's big, he's a hunter, he can provide. He is the man of the movie. And before he goes on to his No One's Good as Gaston song, he tells Belle he wants to marry her, and he wants to have children with her, and he wants to have strapping young boys with her. So you have two different ideologies clashing in this movie. You have what could be boiled down to feminism and what could be boiled down to traditional family values clashing. And in the end, the traditional family values is demonized. In the end, Gaston is demonized. He's the one who's the bad guy. In fact, we are told to celebrate when he dies in the movie. And in that, too, we see another hallmark of feminism that is disobeying and disrespecting fathers. And what I mean by that is Belle disrespects by disobeying her father. I mentioned that I'm going to take off my wife in this episode unintentionally. I'm not trying to be mean, but her favorite movie, Moana. Okay, what is the character Moana doing? She disobeys her father. You see it again in Ariel, a Little Mermaid. Ariel disobeys her father. She rebels against her father. We see time and time again, Disney sets these goals, these core values that they want to promote, including disobeying your father, disobeying good, moral, righteous fathers. Now, am I saying the men are perfect? No, of course not. They're not perfect. But in The Little Mermaid, Poseidon is in charge of his daughter's safety. He is trying to keep her safe. And she disobeys him. And she goes and gets tricked by Ursula. And she loses her voice. Okay? She is a young, naive mermaid. She is a child. I think she's like 15 or 16, okay? She's a child, a teen, okay? She shouldn't be out late in the middle of the sea. Okay, maybe that is stretching it. But still, the point is the core value that they promote is disobeying your parents. Yes, of course, there is some of the abusive step-parent type thing, or if it's Rapunzel, Entangled, then straight-up kidnapping. In which case, I'm all for disobeying the kidnapper. Like, okay, fair. The point still stands. That is a core value they promote. Even the TV shows that I used to watch, like Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, they disrespected their mom so much. They disobeyed her and disrespected her so much. The only good Disney show I remember with good family value that actually promoted good father interaction, that promoted good family communication and values, was Phineas and Ferb. And maybe I'm wrong in that. Like, please comment, share with me what other Disney shows actually instilled good family value. But when you look at, I remember the show Good Luck Charlie, the dad is an idiot. Okay, he's a dummy. Same with, well, most of the male characters just generally are, which is in and of itself just, I think, demeaning. But when you make the father figure dumb, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not traditional good value. And it just sets you up to be able to disobey and dishonor your family, your values, and to explore new things because dad's dumb and mom, who knows what mom does, so I'm a kid and I'm going to do what I want. And of course, I'm going on a tangent and a slight rant there. The point still stands. Disney has been on this for years. For years, they have demeaned and devalued and undermined Christian values, the values that are true, that are in the Bible. They have fought tooth and nail, and they are winning. And they are winning. But not now. Not now. I think they pushed too far. And I think people are starting to wise up. I think people are starting to see, I don't want my kid learning that. I get mocked at work all the time that growing up, I was not allowed to watch the Rugrats. I was not allowed to watch the Rugrats because Angelica was too disrespectful to their mom. She was too whiny. Also, I couldn't watch Caillou for that same reason. He was too disrespectful to his mom and he was too whiny. In my family, we did not grow up tolerating children disrespecting their parents. My parents nipped that in the bud, and guess what? We didn't disrespect our parents all that much. I mean, we were kids, of course we still did, but at the end of the day, we were definitely much more well-behaved, and I madly respect my parents. to this day. And I'm a grown man living on my own. I have my wife with me, obviously. I'm a grown man, and I have massive loads of respect for my parents. And I will not let my children watch certain shows. Lord willing, Lord bless us with them. I will not let my children watch certain shows because I will not tolerate them learning that it is okay or it is permissible to disrespect their parents. Am I saying I'm always going to be right? No, I probably won't be right all the time. I know I won't be. And that's where grace comes into play. That's where, asking my own children for forgiveness will come in. I will have to humble myself and be, hey, Timmy, dad messed up. Dad made a bad choice. Dad got angry. Dad did this. But I will not permit them to learn that it is permissible, that is good to disrespect, to dishonor, and disobey their parents. And same goes with other people watching them. We will not let other people watch them if they're going to allow them to disobey us. If the babysitter says, yeah, I know mom and dad say it's your bedtime 7, but I'm going to push it to 9. No, that's not doable. That's not how this works. They're our children, and they will learn according to us. As we seek to follow God, we seek to keep them in that line too, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Or better yet, that's the best right there, is follow me as I follow Christ, but also it's my responsibility. And even if you're not a Christian, it is still your responsibility to teach your children good values. I do believe that having good values ultimately comes from a Christian worldview. If you're not a Christian, if you don't have the truth of the Bible as your foundation, I don't know what you ground your values in other than what you like or what you don't like. So again, if that is your boat, I would love you to comment, and I'd love to have that conversation. I think it would be a good, fruitful conversation to have. Guys, we have to do better. We have to be vigilant of what our children are watching. What are we letting our children see? What are we allowing them to be influenced by? So that's big. That's big. I won't let my children watch and think it is okay for a boy to kiss another boy, or for a girl to kiss another girl. Of course, there's cultural things there. I went to Mexico. You greet people there. You greet females with kisses, including females to females. So you kiss each other on the cheek, kind of like you would in Europe. Okay, I get that. But I'm talking in a sexual way. Okay, it is not right. It is not permissible for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. It just isn't. It is an abomination before God. And we have to be willing to set that as a line in the sand and say, I will not let my children learn other than this. And if you're going to influence them in a sinful way, in a way that goes against that, that goes against the word of God, that goes against the values I hold, then I will not permit you to teach my children. I will not permit you to influence my children, to entertain my children. Men, it is your responsibility as the man of the house, as the head of the house, as the spiritual leader of your family, to vet everything that is coming in contact with your children, to see to it that they are learning what is right, what is true, what is noble, what is pure. That is your responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's our responsibility as men. As husbands, as fathers, it is our job to be the gatekeepers, because family is the basic building block of society. And without strong families, without families that are capable, without families that are resilient, you have no society. So This is not just the future of our society, this is the future of our children's souls. This is a very, very serious consequence. This is a very serious subject, and it's weighty, and it's a good weight. So I don't want you to back out. I don't want you to think, oh, that sounded heavy. I don't like that. No, bear it. Be a man of endurance. I talked about that last week. Be a man of courage. Be a man of production. Okay, produce something good and useful in this life. Produce children who are going to be productive, who are going to be fruitful, who are going to multiply. Produce children, raise children, send them out into this world as a force for good, because we need it. We need a society that values family again. A society that honors fathers as the spiritual and the provider of the family. The spiritual leader and the provider. We need a society that honors and cares for the nurturing and caring of a mother. So that is what we need today. And that is your responsibility and that is my responsibility. So with that, vet what your children are watching. Go ahead and go through their media. See what kind of things they follow. And if there is something that goes against your values, I want you to sit down with your children and have a conversation with them. And discuss what is good, what is bad, what is good, what is evil. And, you know, of course, do it in an age-appropriate way, but say, you know, hey, this isn't going to fly in this house, and here's why, X, Y, and Z. You need to have that conversation continually. And you can't just be like, oh, well, I don't like that, so no. I think that's actually a problem with the Christian purity culture of the 90s and early 2000s, was a lot of young Christians were taught that, you know, having sex before marriage was wrong, and that was it. There was no further discussion. And yes, the Bible does say having sex before marriage is a sin. That is completely true. They never described or talked or gave reason as to what healthy sexual identity as a Christian was, though. There was no healthy discussion of what it should maybe look like in a Christian marriage. Now, of course, you don't have to go into graphic detail, but you need to provide more context than just, this is good, this is bad, period. No, discuss it. Actually have a good conversation. Again, be age appropriate. You know, don't go talk to your 5-year-old as you would your 14-year-old. There's differences there. But have those conversations and have those hard conversations. Go ahead. Not only do I give you permission, ultimately God gave you that responsibility. And it's your job to do so. So with that, gentlemen, you know what to do. You know the steps you need to take. Look at what they're seeing, what they're viewing, what they're being taught. Correct where it needs to be corrected. Praise where there needs to be praise. And continue to lead your family well. So with that, gentlemen, thank you. Continue to take action and become the men you are called to be. The resilient, capable, strong, rugged, reliable men who can provide safety, who can provide stability, and can provide service to yourself, to your family, to your churches, to your businesses, and to your community. Thank you, and I will hear from you again.